Arise, O people, and, by the power of God's might, resolve to gain the victory over your own selves, that haply the whole earth may be freed and sanctified from its servitude to the gods of its idle fancies, gods that have inflicted such loss upon, and are responsible for the misery of, their wretched worshippers. These idols form the obstacle that impedeth man in his efforts to advance in the path of perfection. We cherish the hope that the hand of divine power may lend its assistance to mankind, and deliver it from its state of grievous abasement. Baha'u'llah. Arise, O people, and, by the power of God's might, resolve to gain the victory over your own selves, that haply the whole earth may be freed and sanctified from its servitude to the gods of its idle fancies, gods that have inflicted such loss upon, and are responsible for the misery of, their wretched worshippers. These idols form the obstacle that impedeth man in his efforts to advance in the path of perfection. We cherish the hope that the hand of divine power may lend its assistance to mankind, and deliver it from its state of grievous abasement. Baha'u'llah. Sharp must be thy sight, O Dab, and adamant thy soul, and brass like thy feet, if thou wishest to be unshaken by the assaults of the selfish desires that whisper in men's breasts. Baha'u'llah. Sharp must be thy sight, O Dab, and adamant thy soul, and brass like thy feet, if thou wishest to be unshaken by the assaults of the selfish desires that whisper in men's breasts. Baha'u'llah. Watch over yourselves, for the evil one is lying in wait, ready to entrap you. Gird yourselves against his wicked devices, and, led by the light of the name of the all-seeing God, make your escape from the darkness that surroundeth you. Let your vision be world-embracing, rather than confined to your own self. The evil one is he that hindereth the rise and obstructeth the spiritual progress of the children of men. Baha'u'llah. Watch over yourselves, for the evil one is lying in wait, ready to entrap you. Gird yourselves against his wicked devices, and, led by the light of the name of the all-seeing God, make your escape from the darkness that surroundeth you. Let your vision be world-embracing, rather than confined to your own self. The evil one is he that hindereth the rise and obstructeth the spiritual progress of the children of men. Baha'u'llah. Humility exalteth man to the heaven of glory and power, whilst pride abaseth him to the depths of wretchedness and degradation. Baha'u'llah. Humility exalteth man to the heaven of glory and power, whilst pride abaseth him to the depths of wretchedness and degradation. Baha'u'llah. Upon the reality of man he hath focused the radiance of all of his names and attributes, and made it a mirror of his own self. Alone of all created things man hath been singled out for so great a favor, so enduring a bounty. These energies with which the day-star of divine bounty and source of heavenly guidance hath endowed the reality of man lie, however, latent within him, even as the flame is hidden within the candle and the rays of light are potentially present in the lamp. The radiance of these energies may be obscured by worldly desires even as the light of the sun can be concealed beneath the dust and dross which cover the mirror. Neither the candle nor the lamp can be lighted through their own unaided efforts, nor can it ever be possible for the mirror to free itself from its dross. It is clear and evident that until a fire is kindled the lamp will never be ignited, and unless the dross is blotted out from the face of the mirror it can never represent the image of the sun nor reflect its light and glory. Baha'u'llah. Upon the reality of man he hath focused the radiance of all of his names and attributes, and made it a mirror of his own self. Alone of all created things man hath been singled out for so great a favor, so enduring a bounty. These energies with which the day star of divine bounty and source of heavenly guidance hath endowed the reality of man lie, however, latent within him, even as the flame is hidden within the candle and the rays of light are potentially present in the lamp. The radiance of these energies may be obscured by worldly desires even as the light of the sun can be concealed beneath the dust and dross which cover the mirror. Neither the candle nor the lamp can be lighted through their own unaided efforts, nor can it ever be possible for the mirror to free itself from its dross. It is clear and evident that until a fire is kindled the lamp will never be ignited, and unless the dross is blotted out from the face of the mirror it can never represent the image of the sun nor reflect its light and glory. Baha'u'llah. O Son of Earth! Know, verily, the heart wherein the least remnant of envy yet lingers, shall never attain my everlasting dominion, nor inhale the sweet savors of holiness breathing from my kingdom of sanctity. Baha'u'llah. O Son of Earth! No, verily, the heart wherein the least remnant of envy yet lingers, shall never attain my everlasting dominion, nor inhale the sweet savors of holiness breathing from my kingdom of sanctity. Baha'u'llah. How many a soul hath turned itself unto the Lord and entered into the protective shadow of His Word, and become famed throughout the world, for example, Judas Iscariot. And then, when the tests grew harsh and the violence thereof intensified, their feet slipped on the pathway and they turned backward from the faith after having acknowledged its truth, and they denied it, and fell away from harmony and love into mischief and hate. Thus became visible the power of tests, which maketh mighty pillars to tremble and shake. Judas Iscariot was the greatest of the disciples, and he summoned the people to Christ. Then it seemed to him that Jesus was showing increasing regard to the Apostle Peter, and when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," these words addressed to Peter, and this singling out of Peter for special honor, had a marked effect on the Apostle, and kindled envy within the heart of Judas. For this reason he who had once drawn nigh did turn aside, and he who had believed in the faith denied it, and his love changed to hate, until he became a cause of the crucifixion of that glorious Lord, that manifest splendor. Such is the outcome of envy, the chief reason why men turn aside from the straight path. So hath it occurred, and will occur, in this great cause. But it doth not matter, for it engendereth loyalty in the rest, and maketh souls to arise who waver not, who are fixed and unshakable as the mountains in their love for the manifest light. Abdu'l-Bahá. How many a soul hath turned itself unto the Lord and entered into the protective shadow of His word, and become famed throughout the world, for example, Judas Iscariot. And then, when the tests grew harsh and the violence thereof intensified, their feet slipped on the pathway and they turned backward from the faith after having acknowledged its truth, and they denied it, and fell away from harmony and love into mischief and hate. Thus became visible the power of tests, which maketh mighty pillars to tremble and shake. Judas Iscariot was the greatest of the disciples, and he summoned the people to Christ. Then it seemed to him that Jesus was showing increasing regard to the Apostle Peter, and when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," these words addressed to Peter, and this singling out of Peter for special honor, had a marked effect on the Apostle, and kindled envy within the heart of Judas. For this reason he who had once drawn nigh did turn aside, and he who had believed in the faith denied it, and his love changed to hate, until he became a cause of the crucifixion of that glorious Lord, that manifest splendor. Such is the outcome of envy, the chief reason why men turn aside from the straight path. So hath it occurred, and will occur, in this great cause. But it doth not matter, for it engendereth loyalty in the rest, and maketh souls to arise who waver not, who are fixed and unshakable as the mountains in their love for the manifest light. Abdu'l-Bahá. Desire is a flame that has reduced to ashes uncounted lifetime harvests of the learned, a devouring fire that even the vast sea of their accumulated knowledge could never quench. How often has it happened that an individual who was graced with every attribute of humanity and wore the jewel of true understanding, nevertheless followed after his passions until his excellent qualities passed beyond moderation and he was forced into excess. His pure intentions changed to evil ones, his attributes were no longer put to uses worthy of them, and the power of his desires turned him aside from righteousness and its rewards into ways that were dangerous and dark. A good character is in the sight of God and His chosen ones and the possessors of insight, the most excellent and praiseworthy of all things, but always on condition that its center of emanation should be reason and knowledge and its base should be true moderation. Abdu'l-Bahá. Desire is a flame that has reduced to ashes uncounted lifetime harvests of the learned, a devouring fire that even the vast sea of their accumulated knowledge could never quench. How often has it happened that an individual who was graced with every attribute of humanity and wore the jewel of true understanding, nevertheless followed after his passions until his excellent qualities passed beyond moderation and he was forced into excess. His pure intentions changed to evil ones, his attributes were no longer put to uses worthy of them, and the power of his desires turned him aside from righteousness and its rewards into ways that were dangerous and dark. A good character is in the sight of God and His chosen ones and the possessors of insight, the most excellent and praiseworthy of all things, but always on condition that its center of emanation should be reason and knowledge and its base should be true moderation. Abdu'l-Bahá. To what extent do they form a part of those mental tests and trials destined at various times by the Almighty to stir and reinvigorate the body of His cause, and how far are they traceable to our imperfect state of understanding, to our weaknesses and failings? Shoghi Effendi. To what extent do they form a part of those mental tests and trials destined at various times by the Almighty to stir and reinvigorate the body of His cause, and how far are they traceable to our imperfect state of understanding, to our weaknesses and failings? Shoghi Effendi. Life is a constant struggle, not only against forces around us, but above all against our own ego. We can never afford to rest on our oars, for if we do, we soon see ourselves carried downstream again. Many of those who drift away from the cause do so for the reason that they had ceased to go on developing. They became complacent, or indifferent, and consequently ceased to draw the spiritual strength and vitality from the cause which they should have. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Life is a constant struggle, not only against forces around us, but above all against our own ego. We can never afford to rest on our oars, for if we do, we soon see ourselves carried downstream again. Many of those who drift away from the cause do so for the reason that they had ceased to go on developing. They became complacent, or indifferent, and consequently ceased to draw the spiritual strength and vitality from the cause which they should have. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The complete and entire elimination of the ego would imply perfection, which man can never completely attain, but the ego can and should be ever increasingly subordinated to the enlightened soul of man. This is what spiritual progress implies. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The complete and entire elimination of the ego would imply perfection, which man can never completely attain, but the ego can and should be ever increasingly subordinated to the enlightened soul of man. This is what spiritual progress implies. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Self has really two meanings, or is used in two senses, in the Baha'i writings. One is self, the identity of the individual created by God. This is the self mentioned in such passages as, He hath known God who hath known himself, etc. The other self is the ego, the dark, animalistic heritage each one of us has, the lower nature that can develop into a monster of selfishness, brutality, lust and so on. It is this self we must struggle against, or this side of our natures, in order to strengthen and free the spirit within us and help it to attain perfection. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Self has really two meanings, or is used in two senses, in the Baha'i writings. One is self, the identity of the individual created by God. This is the self mentioned in such passages as, He hath known God who hath known himself, etc. The other self is the ego, the dark, animalistic heritage each one of us has, the lower nature that can develop into a monster of selfishness, brutality, lust and so on. It is this self we must struggle against, or this side of our natures, in order to strengthen and free the spirit within us and help it to attain perfection. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. O my son, the company of the ungodly increaseth sorrow, whilst fellowship with the righteous cleanseth the rust from off the heart. He that seeketh to commune with God, let him betake himself to the companionship of his loved ones, and he that desireth to hearken unto the word of God, let him give ear to the words of his chosen ones. Baha'u'llah. O my son! The company of the ungodly increaseth sorrow, whilst fellowship with the righteous cleanseth the rust from off the heart. He that seeketh to commune with God, let him betake himself to the companionship of his loved ones, and he that desireth to hearken unto the word of God, let him give ear to the words of his chosen ones. Baha'u'llah. Time and again have we admonished our beloved ones to avoid, nay to flee from, anything whatsoever from which the odor of mischief can be detected. The world is in great turmoil, and the minds of its people are in a state of utter confusion. Baha'u'llah. Time and again have we admonished our beloved ones to avoid, nay to flee from, anything whatsoever from which the odor of mischief can be detected. The world is in great turmoil, and the minds of its people are in a state of utter confusion. Baha'u'llah. O son of dust! Beware! Walk not with the ungodly and seek not fellowship with him, for such companionship turneth the radiance of the heart into infernal fire. Baha'u'llah. O son of dust! Beware! Walk not with the ungodly and seek not fellowship with him, for such companionship turneth the radiance of the heart into infernal fire. Baha'u'llah.
He, who is the eternal truth, beareth me witness. Nothing whatever can, in this day, inflict a greater harm upon this cause than dissension and strife, contention, estrangement and apathy, among the loved ones of God. Flee them, through the power of God and His sovereign aid, and strive ye to knit together the hearts of men, in His name, the Unifier, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise. Baha'u'llah. He, who is the eternal truth, beareth me witness. Nothing whatever can, in this day, inflict a greater harm upon this cause than dissension and strife, contention, estrangement and apathy, among the loved ones of God. Flee them, through the power of God and His sovereign aid, and strive ye to knit together the hearts of men, in His name, the Unifier, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise. Baha'u'llah. Let not the deeds of those who reject the truth shut you out as by a veil. Such people have warrant over your bodies only, and God hath not reposed in them power over your spirits, your souls and your hearts. The Bab. Let not the deeds of those who reject the truth shut you out as by a veil. Such people have warrant over your bodies only, and God hath not reposed in them power over your spirits, your souls and your hearts. The Bab. When God calls a soul to a high station, it is because that soul has capacity for that station as a gift of God, and because that soul has supplicated to be taken into His service. No envies, jealousies, calumnies, slanders, plots nor schemes will ever move God to remove a soul from its intended place, for by the grace of God, such actions on the part of the people are the test of the servant, testing his strength, forbearance, endurance and sincerity under adversity. At the same time those who show forth envies, jealousies, etc., toward a servant, are depriving themselves of their own stations, and not another of his, for they prove by their own acts that they are not only unworthy of being called to any station awaiting them, but also prove that they cannot withstand the very first test, that of rejoicing over the success of their neighbor, at which God rejoices. Only by such a sincere joy can the gift of God descend into a pure heart. Envy closes the door of bounty, and jealousy prevents one from ever attaining to the kingdom of Abba. No. Before God. No one can deprive another of his rightful station, that can only be lost by one's unwillingness or failure to do the will of God, or by seeking to use the cause of God for one's own gratification or ambition. No one save a severed soul or a sincere heart finds response from God. By assisting in the success of another servant in the cause does one in reality lay the foundation for one's own success and aspirations. Ambitions are an abomination before the Lord. How regrettable! Some even use the affairs of the cause and its activities as a means of revenge on account of some personal spite, or fancied injury, interfering with the work of another, or seeking its failure. Such only destroy their own success, did they know the truth. Attributed to Abdu'l-Bahá. When God calls a soul to a high station, it is because that soul has capacity for that station as a gift of God, and because that soul has supplicated to be taken into His service. No envies, jealousies, calumnies, slanders, plots nor schemes will ever move God to remove a soul from its intended place, for by the grace of God, such actions on the part of the people are the test of the servant, testing his strength, forbearance, endurance and sincerity under adversity. At the same time those who show forth envies, jealousies, etc., toward a servant, are depriving themselves of their own stations, and not another of his, for they prove by their own acts that they are not only unworthy of being called to any station awaiting them, but also prove that they cannot withstand the very first test, that of rejoicing over the success of their neighbor, at which God rejoices. Only by such a sincere joy can the gift of God descend into a pure heart. Envy closes the door of bounty, and jealousy prevents one from ever attaining to the kingdom of Abba. No. Before God. No one can deprive another of his rightful station, that can only be lost by one's unwillingness or failure to do the will of God, or by seeking to use the cause of God for one's own gratification or ambition. No one save a severed soul or a sincere heart finds response from God. By assisting in the success of another servant in the cause does one in reality lay the foundation for one's own success and aspirations. Ambitions are an abomination before the Lord. How regrettable! Some even use the affairs of the cause and its activities as a means of revenge on account of some personal spite, or fancied injury, interfering with the work of another, or seeking its failure. Such only destroy their own success, did they know the truth. Attributed to Abdu'l-Bahá. Perhaps the greatest test Bahá'ís are ever subjected to is from each other, but for the sake of the Master they should be ever ready to overlook each other's mistakes, apologize for harsh words they have uttered, forgive and forget. He strongly recommends to you this course of action. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Perhaps the greatest test Bahafs are ever subjected to is from each other, but for the sake of the master they should be ever ready to overlook each other's mistakes, apologize for harsh words they have uttered, forgive and forget. He strongly recommends to you this course of action. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. You should not allow the remarks made by the Baha'is to hurt or depress you, but should forget the personalities, and arise to do all you can, yourself, to teach the faith. Baha'u'llah enjoins work on all. No one need ever be ashamed of his job. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. You should not allow the remarks made by the Baha'is to hurt or depress you, but should forget the personalities, and arise to do all you can, yourself, to teach the faith. Baha'u'llah enjoins work on all. No one need ever be ashamed of his job. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The believers need to be deepened in their knowledge and appreciation of the covenants of both Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Baha. This is the stronghold of the faith of every Baha'i, and that which enables him to withstand every test and the attacks of the enemies outside the faith, and the far more dangerous, insidious, lukewarm people inside the faith who have no real attachment to the covenant, and consequently uphold the intellectual aspect of the teachings while at the same time undermining the spiritual foundation upon which the whole cause of God rests. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The believers need to be deepened in their knowledge and appreciation of the covenants of both Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Baha. This is the stronghold of the faith of every Baha'i, and that which enables him to withstand every test and the attacks of the enemies outside the faith, and the far more dangerous, insidious, lukewarm people inside the faith who have no real attachment to the covenant, and consequently uphold the intellectual aspect of the teachings while at the same time undermining the spiritual foundation upon which the whole cause of God rests. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Your letter in which you express great anguish at the plight of babies and children who suffer at the hands of exploitative and disturbed individuals, was received by the Universal House of Justice. We are instructed to convey this reply to you. On this plane of existence, there are many injustices that the human mind cannot fathom. Among these are the heart-rending trials of the innocent. Indeed, even the prophets of God themselves have borne their share of grievous afflictions in every age. Yet in spite of the evidence of all this suffering, God's manifestations, whose lives and wisdom show them to have been far above human beings in understanding, unitedly bear testimony to the justice, love and mercy of God. With regard to the spiritual significance of the suffering of children who are afflicted at the hands of the oppressor, Abdu'l-Baha not only states that for those souls the afflictions that they bear in life become a cause for them of an outpouring of divine mercy and bestowal, he also explains that to be a recipient of God's mercy is preferable to 100,000 earthly comforts, and he promises that in the world to come a mighty recompense awaiteth such souls. Thus, as regards the questions of young children and of weak, defenseless souls who are afflicted at the hand of the oppressor, in this a great wisdom is concealed. The question is one of cardinal importance, but briefly it may be stated that in the world to come a mighty recompense awaiteth such souls. Much, indeed, might be said upon this theme, and upon how the afflictions that they bear in life become cause for them of such an outpouring of divine mercy and bestowal as is preferable to 100,000 comforts and to a world of growth and development in this transitory abode, from a tablet, translated from the Persian. You inquire why some souls, notably those born to loving parents, are seemingly favored by God, while those born to abusing and rejecting parents are destined to endure a lifetime of suffering, since children growing up in such a destructive atmosphere are more likely as adults to perpetuate abuse on their own children, thus repeating the cycle of violence and thereby further placing in jeopardy their relationship to God. Clearly, only God is able to know the true state of any soul. It is therefore important to appreciate that God in His bounty has endowed every created thing, however humble, with the capacity to exercise a particular influence, and been made to possess a distinct virtue. And, reminiscent of the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25 verses 14-30, Baha'u'llah, in the Gleanings, p. 149, draws attention to the need to make efforts to develop and demonstrate in action our God-given potential. All that which ye potentially possess can, however, be manifested only as a result of your own volition. Your own acts testify to this truth. Is it not an evidence of the justice of God that each of us, irrespective of family background, is assessed in terms of the efforts we have made to seize whatever opportunities existed in our lives, to develop and use our allotted talent, be it large or small? Each shall receive his share from thy Lord, is Baha'u'llah's assurance. Sufferings and trials, sent by God to test and perfect His creatures, are an integral part of life. They contain the potential for man's progress or retrogression, depending on the individual's response. As Abdu'l-Baha explains, the souls who bear the tests of God become the manifestations of great bounties, for the divine trials cause some souls to become entirely lifeless, while they cause the holy souls to ascend to the highest degree of love and solidity. In addition, we know from the Baha'i writings that man's soul is independent of all infirmities of body or mind, and not only continues to exist after departing from this mortal world, but progresses through the bounty and grace of the Lord. Therefore, an evaluation of man's material existence and achievements cannot ignore the potential spiritual development stimulated by the individual's desire to manifest the attributes of God and his response to the exigencies of his life, nor can it exclude the possibility of the operation of God's mercy in terms of compensation for earthly suffering in the next life. Written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice. Your letter in which you express great anguish at the plight of babies and children who suffer at the hands of exploitative and disturbed individuals, was received by the Universal House of Justice. We are instructed to convey this reply to you. On this plane of existence, there are many injustices that the human mind cannot fathom. Among these are the heart-rending trials of the innocent. Indeed, even the prophets of God themselves have borne their share of grievous afflictions in every age. Yet in spite of the evidence of all this suffering, God's manifestations, whose lives and wisdom show them to have been far above human beings in understanding, unitedly bear testimony to the justice, love and mercy of God. With regard to the spiritual significance of the suffering of children who are afflicted at the hands of the oppressor, Abdu'l-Baha not only states that for those souls the afflictions that they bear in life become a cause for them of an outpouring of divine mercy and bestowal, he also explains that to be a recipient of God's mercy is preferable to 100,000 earthly comforts, and he promises that in the world to come a mighty recompense awaiteth such souls. Thus, as regards the questions of young children and of weak, defenseless souls who are afflicted at the hand of the oppressor, in this a great wisdom is concealed. The question is one of cardinal importance, but briefly it may be stated that in the world to come a mighty recompense awaiteth such souls. Much, indeed, might be said upon this theme, and upon how the afflictions that they bear in life become cause for them of such an outpouring of divine mercy and bestowal as is preferable to 100,000 comforts and to a world of growth and development in this transitory abode, from a tablet, translated from the Persian. You inquire why some souls, notably those born to loving parents, are seemingly favored by God, while those born to abusing and rejecting parents are destined to endure a lifetime of suffering, since children growing up in such a destructive atmosphere are more likely as adults to perpetuate abuse on their own children, thus repeating the cycle of violence and thereby further placing in jeopardy their relationship to God. Clearly, only God is able to know the true state of any soul. It is therefore important to appreciate that God in His bounty has endowed every created thing, however humble, with the capacity to exercise a particular influence, and been made to possess a distinct virtue. And, reminiscent of the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25 verses 14-30, Baha'u'llah, in the Gleanings, p. 149, draws attention to the need to make efforts to develop and demonstrate in action our God-given potential. All that which ye potentially possess can, however, be manifested only as a result of your own volition. Your own acts testify to this truth. Is it not an evidence of the justice of God that each of us, irrespective of family background, is assessed in terms of the efforts we have made to seize whatever opportunities existed in our lives, to develop and use our allotted talent, be it large or small? Each shall receive his share from thy Lord, is Baha'u'llah's assurance. Sufferings and trials, sent by God to test and perfect His creatures, are an integral part of life. They contain the potential for man's progress or retrogression, depending on the individual's response. As Abdu'l-Baha explains, the souls who bear the tests of God become the manifestations of great bounties, for the divine trials cause some souls to become entirely lifeless, while they cause the holy souls to ascend to the highest degree of love and solidity. In addition, we know from the Baha'i writings that man's soul is independent of all infirmities of body or mind, and not only continues to exist after departing from this mortal world, but progresses through the bounty and grace of the Lord. Therefore, an evaluation of man's material existence and achievements cannot ignore the potential spiritual development stimulated by the individual's desire to manifest the attributes of God and his response to the exigencies of his life, nor can it exclude the possibility of the operation of God's mercy in terms of compensation for earthly suffering in the next life. Written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice. O Son of Being! Busy not thyself with this world, for with fire we test the gold, and with gold we test our servants. Baha'u'llah. O Son of Being! Busy not thyself with this world, for with fire we test the gold, and with gold we test our servants. Baha'u'llah.
So, Son of Man, should prosperity befall thee, rejoice not, and should abasement come upon thee, grieve not, for both shall pass away and be no more. Baha'u'llah. So, son of man, should prosperity befall thee, rejoice not, and should abasement come upon thee, grieve not, for both shall pass away and be no more. Banhayullah. So, ye that pride yourselves on mortal riches, know ye in truth that wealth is a mighty barrier between the seeker and his desire, the lover and his beloved. The rich, but for a few, shall in no wise attain the court of his presence, nor enter the city of content and resignation. Well is it then with him, who, being rich, is not hindered by his riches from the eternal kingdom, nor deprived by them of imperishable dominion. Banhayullah. So, ye that pride yourselves on mortal riches, know ye in truth that wealth is a mighty barrier between the seeker and his desire, the lover and his beloved. The rich, but for a few, shall in no wise attain the court of his presence, nor enter the city of content and resignation. Well is it then with him, who, being rich, is not hindered by his riches from the eternal kingdom, nor deprived by them of imperishable dominion. Banhayullah. By God, in earthly riches fear is hidden and peril is concealed. Fleeting are the riches of the world. All that perisheth and changeth is not, and hath never been, worthy of attention, except to a recognized measure. Banhayullah. By God, in earthly riches fear is hidden and peril is concealed. Fleeting are the riches of the world. All that perisheth and changeth is not, and hath never been, worthy of attention, except to a recognized measure. Banhayullah. Say, O people, let not this life and its deceits deceive you, for the world and all that is therein is held firmly in the grasp of his will. He bestoweth his favor on whom he willeth, and from whom he willeth he taketh it away. He doth whatsoever he chooseth. Had the world been of any worth in his sight, he surely would never have allowed his enemies to possess it, even to the extent of a grain of mustard seed. He hath, however, caused you to be entangled with its affairs, in return for what your hands have wrought in his cause. This, indeed, is a chastisement which ye, of your own will, have inflicted upon yourselves, could ye but perceive it. Are ye rejoicing in the things which, according to the estimate of God, are contemptible and worthless, things wherewith he proveth the hearts of the doubtful? Banhayullah. Say, O people, let not this life and its deceits deceive you, for the world and all that is therein is held firmly in the grasp of his will. He bestoweth his favor on whom he willeth, and from whom he willeth he taketh it away. He doth whatsoever he chooseth. Had the world been of any worth in his sight, he surely would never have allowed his enemies to possess it, even to the extent of a grain of mustard seed. He hath, however, caused you to be entangled with its affairs, in return for what your hands have wrought in his cause. This, indeed, is a chastisement which ye, of your own will, have inflicted upon yourselves, could ye but perceive it. Are ye rejoicing in the things which, according to the estimate of God, are contemptible and worthless, things wherewith he proveth the hearts of the doubtful? Banhayullah. Every soul seeketh an object, and cherisheth the desire, and day and night striveth to attain his aim. One craveth riches, another thirsteth for glory, and still another yearneth for fame, for art, for prosperity, and the like. Yet finally, all are doomed to loss and disappointment. One and all they leave behind them all that is theirs and empty-handed hasten to the realm beyond, and all their labors shall be in vain. To dust they shall all return, denuded, depressed, disheartened, and in utter despair. Woe and misery to the soul that seeketh after comforts, riches, and earthly delights, while neglecting to call God to mind. Abdu'l-Bahá. Every soul seeketh an object, and cherisheth the desire, and day and night striveth to attain his aim. One craveth riches, another thirsteth for glory, and still another yearneth for fame, for art, for prosperity, and the like. Yet finally, all are doomed to loss and disappointment. One and all they leave behind them all that is theirs and empty-handed hasten to the realm beyond, and all their labors shall be in vain. To dust they shall all return, denuded, depressed, disheartened, and in utter despair. Woe and misery to the soul that seeketh after comforts, riches, and earthly delights, while neglecting to call God to mind. Abdu'l-Bahá. The gross materialism that engulfs the entire nation at the present hour, the attachment to worldly things that enshrouds the souls of men, the fears and anxieties that distract their minds, the pleasure and dissipation that fill their time, the prejudices and animosities that darken their outlook, the apathy and lethargy that paralyze their spiritual faculties, these are among the formidable obstacles that stand in the path of every would-be warrior in the service of Baha'u'llah, obstacles which he must battle against and surmount in his crusade for the redemption of his own countrymen. Shoghi Effendi. The gross materialism that engulfs the entire nation at the present hour, the attachment to worldly things that enshrouds the souls of men, the fears and anxieties that distract their minds, the pleasure and dissipation that fill their time, the prejudices and animosities that darken their outlook, the apathy and lethargy that paralyze their spiritual faculties, these are among the formidable obstacles that stand in the path of every would-be warrior in the service of Baha'u'llah, obstacles which he must battle against and surmount in his crusade for the redemption of his own countrymen. Shoghi Effendi. The steady and alarming deterioration in the standard of morality is exemplified by the appalling increase of crime, by political corruption in ever-widening and ever-higher circles, by the loosening of the sacred ties of marriage, by the inordinate craving for pleasure and diversion, and by the marked and progressive slackening of parental control, is no doubt the most arresting and distressing aspect of the decline that has set in, and can be clearly perceived in the fortunes of the entire nation. Shoghi Effendi. The steady and alarming deterioration in the standard of morality is exemplified by the appalling increase of crime, by political corruption in ever-widening and ever-higher circles, by the loosening of the sacred ties of marriage, by the inordinate craving for pleasure and diversion, and by the marked and progressive slackening of parental control, is no doubt the most arresting and distressing aspect of the decline that has set in, and can be clearly perceived in the fortunes of the entire nation. Shoghi Effendi. The Baha'is should realize that today's intensely materialistic civilization, alas, most perfectly exemplified by the United States, has far exceeded the bounds of moderation, and, as Baha'u'llah has pointed out in his writings, civilization itself, when carried to extremes, leads to destruction. The Canadian friends should be on their guard against this deadly influence to which they are so constantly exposed, and which we can see is undermining the moral strength of not only America, but indeed of Europe and other parts of the world to which it is rapidly spreading. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The Baha'is should realize that today's intensely materialistic civilization, alas, most perfectly exemplified by the United States, has far exceeded the bounds of moderation, and, as Baha'u'llah has pointed out in his writings, civilization itself, when carried to extremes, leads to destruction. The Canadian friends should be on their guard against this deadly influence to which they are so constantly exposed, and which we can see is undermining the moral strength of not only America, but indeed of Europe and other parts of the world to which it is rapidly spreading. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The chief reason for the evils now rampant in society is the lack of spirituality. The materialistic civilization of our age has so much absorbed the energy and interest of mankind that people in general do no longer feel the necessity of raising themselves above the forces and conditions of their daily material existence. There is not sufficient demand for things that we should call spiritual to differentiate them from the needs and requirements of our physical existence. The universal crisis affecting mankind is, therefore, essentially spiritual in its causes. The spirit of the age, taken on the whole, is irreligious. Man's outlook on life is too crude and materialistic to enable him to elevate himself into the higher realms of the spirit. It is this condition, so sadly morbid, into which society has fallen, that religion seeks to improve and transform. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The chief reason for the evils now rampant in society is the lack of spirituality. The materialistic civilization of our age has so much absorbed the energy and interest of mankind that people in general do no longer feel the necessity of raising themselves above the forces and conditions of their daily material existence. There is not sufficient demand for things that we should call spiritual to differentiate them from the needs and requirements of our physical existence. The universal crisis affecting mankind is, therefore, essentially spiritual in its causes. The spirit of the age, taken on the whole, is irreligious. Man's outlook on life is too crude and materialistic to enable him to elevate himself into the higher realms of the spirit. It is this condition, so sadly morbid, into which society has fallen, that religion seeks to improve and transform. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The American nation stands, indeed, from whichever angle one observes its immediate fortunes, in grave peril. The woes and tribulations which threaten it are partly avoidable but mostly inevitable and God-sent, for by reason of them a government and people clinging tenaciously to the obsolescent doctrine of absolute sovereignty and upholding a political system, manifestly at variance with the needs of a world already contracted into a neighborhood and crying out for unity, will find itself purged of its anachronistic conceptions, and prepared to play a preponderating role, as foretold by Abdu'l-Baha. In the hoisting of the standard of the lesser peace, in the unification of mankind, and in the establishment of a world federal government on this planet. These same fiery tribulations will not only firmly weld the American nation to its sister nations in both hemispheres, but will, through their cleansing effect, purge it thoroughly of the accumulated dross which ingrained racial prejudice, rampant materialism, widespread ungodliness, and moral laxity have combined, in the course of successive generations, to produce, and which have prevented her thus far from assuming the role of world spiritual leadership forecast by Abdu'l-Baha's unerring pen. A role which she is bound to fulfill through travail and sorrow. Shoghi Effendi. The American nation stands, indeed, from whichever angle one observes its immediate fortunes, in grave peril. The woes and tribulations which threaten it are partly avoidable but mostly inevitable and God-sent, for by reason of them a government and people clinging tenaciously to the obsolescent doctrine of absolute sovereignty and upholding a political system, manifestly at variance with the needs of a world already contracted into a neighborhood and crying out for unity, will find itself purged of its anachronistic conceptions, and prepared to play a preponderating role, as foretold by Abdu'l-Baha. In the hoisting of the standard of the lesser peace, in the unification of mankind, and in the establishment of a world federal government on this planet. These same fiery tribulations will not only firmly weld the American nation to its sister nations in both hemispheres, but will, through their cleansing effect, purge it thoroughly of the accumulated dross which ingrained racial prejudice, rampant materialism, widespread ungodliness, and moral laxity have combined, in the course of successive generations, to produce, and which have prevented her thus far from assuming the role of world spiritual leadership forecast by Abdu'l-Baha's unerring pen. A role which she is bound to fulfill through travail and sorrow. Shoghi Effendi. You should never be too depressed about your dissatisfaction concerning not finding a job you like, a place in the world that fits you. If you analyze it, this general sense of misfit is one of the curses of your generation, one of the products of the world's disequilibrium and chaos. It is not confined to your life, it is pretty general. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. You should never be too depressed about your dissatisfaction concerning not finding a job you like, a place in the world that fits you. If you analyze it, this general sense of misfit is one of the curses of your generation, one of the products of the world's disequilibrium and chaos. It is not confined to your life, it is pretty general. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Know ye that trials and tribulations have, from time immemorial, been the lot of the chosen ones of God and His beloved, and such of His servants as are detached from all else but Him, they whom neither merchandise nor traffic beguile from the remembrance of the Almighty, they that speak not till He hath spoken, and act according to His commandment. Such is God's method carried into effect of old, and such will it remain in the future. Baha'u'llah. Know ye that trials and tribulations have, from time immemorial, been the lot of the chosen ones of God and His beloved, and such of His servants as are detached from all else but Him, they whom neither merchandise nor traffic beguile from the remembrance of the Almighty, they that speak not till He hath spoken, and act according to His commandment. Such is God's method carried into effect of old, and such will it remain in the future. Baha'u'llah. Throughout all ages and centuries, the righteous have been made a target to the darts of adversity and have fallen victim to the swords of oppression. At one time they quaffed the cup of dire ordeal. At another they tasted the venom of bitter woe. Not for a moment did they enjoy rest and comfort, nor did they repose for a fleeting breath upon the couch of tranquility. Rather did they endure agonizing torment and patiently carry the burden of hardship that every oppressor was wont to impose on them. Having been consigned to dungeons and prisons, they severed themselves from the world and all its peoples. In brief, there is not a spike whose tip is not tinged with the blood of the martyrs, nor is there a place not dyed crimson with the blood of his ardent lovers. The purpose is to enable you to know that one of the tenets of those that thirst after him and the highest aspiration of such as long to behold his face is to endure hardship, to submit to trials and martyrdom in the path of the Lord of grace. Therefore it behoveth you to render thanks unto God for the bounty of having drunk your fill from this draught and for having tasted deadly poison in the path of the best beloved. Indeed, far from being a poison, this is pure honey and sugar. Far from being bitter in taste, this is the essence of sweetness. Abdu'l-Bahá. Throughout all ages and centuries, the righteous have been made a target to the darts of adversity and have fallen victim to the swords of oppression. At one time they quaffed the cup of dire ordeal. At another they tasted the venom of bitter woe. Not for a moment did they enjoy rest and comfort, nor did they repose for a fleeting breath upon the couch of tranquility. Rather did they endure agonizing torment and patiently carry the burden of hardship that every oppressor was wont to impose on them. Having been consigned to dungeons and prisons, they severed themselves from the world and all its peoples. In brief, there is not a spike whose tip is not tinged with the blood of the martyrs, nor is there a place not dyed crimson with the blood of his ardent lovers. The purpose is to enable you to know that one of the tenets of those that thirst after him and the highest aspiration of such as long to behold his face is to endure hardship, to submit to trials and martyrdom in the path of the Lord of grace. Therefore it behoveth you to render thanks unto God for the bounty of having drunk your fill from this draught and for having tasted deadly poison in the path of the best beloved. Indeed, far from being a poison, this is pure honey and sugar. Far from being bitter in taste, this is the essence of sweetness. Abdu'l-Bahá. A large multitude of people will arise against you, showing oppression, expressing contumely and derision, shunning your society, and heaping upon me ridicule. However, the Heavenly Father will illumine you to such an extent that, like unto the rays of the sun, you shall scatter the dark clouds of superstition, shine gloriously in the midst of heaven and illumine the face of the earth. You must make firm the feet at the time when these trials transpire, and demonstrate forbearance and patience. You must withstand them with the utmost love and kindness, consider their oppression and persecution as the caprice of children, and do not give any importance to whatever they do. Abdu'l-Bahá. A large multitude of people will arise against you, showing oppression, expressing contumely and derision, shunning your society, and heaping upon me ridicule. However, the Heavenly Father will illumine you to such an extent that, like unto the rays of the sun, you shall scatter the dark clouds of superstition, shine gloriously in the midst of heaven and illumine the face of the earth. You must make firm the feet at the time when these trials transpire, and demonstrate forbearance and patience. You must withstand them with the utmost love and kindness, consider their oppression and persecution as the caprice of children, and do not give any importance to whatever they do. Abdu'l-Bahá.
how great, how very great is the cause. How very fierce the onslaught of all the peoples and kindreds of the earth. Ere long for the clamor of the multitude throughout Africa, throughout America, the cry of the European, and of the Turk, the groaning of India and China, be heard from far and near. One and all, they shall arise with all their power to resist his cause. Then shall the knights of the Lord, assisted by his grace from on high, strengthened by faith, aided by the power of understanding, and reinforced by the legions of the covenant, arise and make manifest the truth of the verse. Behold, the confusion that hath befallen the tribes of the defeated. Abdu'l-Baha. How great, how very great is the cause. How very fierce the onslaught of all the peoples and kindreds of the earth. Ere long for the clamor of the multitude throughout Africa, throughout America, the cry of the European, and of the Turk, the groaning of India and China, be heard from far and near. One and all, they shall arise with all their power to resist his cause. Then shall the knights of the Lord, assisted by his grace from on high, strengthened by faith, aided by the power of understanding, and reinforced by the legions of the covenant, arise and make manifest the truth of the verse. Behold, the confusion that hath befallen the tribes of the defeated. Abdu'l-Baha. The intent of what I wrote to thee in my previous letter was this, that when exalting the word of God, there are trials to be met with, and calamities, and that in loving him, at every moment there are hardships, torments, afflictions. It behoveth the individual first to value these ordeals, willingly accept them, and eagerly welcome them. Only then should he proceed with teaching the faith, and exalting the word of God. Abdu'l-Baha. The intent of what I wrote to thee in my previous letter was this, that when exalting the word of God, there are trials to be met with, and calamities, and that in loving him, at every moment there are hardships, torments, afflictions. It behoveth the individual first to value these ordeals, willingly accept them, and eagerly welcome them. Only then should he proceed with teaching the faith, and exalting the word of God. Abdu'l-Baha. Undoubtedly, as the influence of God's faith becomes more pervasive, the number of those who wish to obstruct its progress will also grow. New and increasingly formidable adversaries will come to the fore, and mischief makers, appearing under various extraordinary guises, will seek surreptitiously to goad to action all those who harbor resentment or bear ill will towards this cause, and will raise aloft the standards of sedition. Under these circumstances it is essential for the friends on the one hand to be alert and watchful, and on the other to arouse the vigilance, and strengthen the allegiance of their fellow believers, to guard the integrity of the word of God, and to maintain harmony and unity amongst his loved ones. Herein lies the supreme duty of the friends of God, and the highest means by which they can render service to his cause. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Undoubtedly, as the influence of God's faith becomes more pervasive, the number of those who wish to obstruct its progress will also grow. New and increasingly formidable adversaries will come to the fore, and mischief makers, appearing under various extraordinary guises, will seek surreptitiously to goad to action all those who harbor resentment or bear ill will towards this cause, and will raise aloft the standards of sedition. Under these circumstances it is essential for the friends on the one hand to be alert and watchful, and on the other to arouse the vigilance, and strengthen the allegiance of their fellow believers, to guard the integrity of the word of God, and to maintain harmony and unity amongst his loved ones. Herein lies the supreme duty of the friends of God, and the highest means by which they can render service to his cause. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. know thou that hardship and privation shall increase day by day, and the people shall thereby be afflicted. The doors of joy and happiness shall be closed on all sides, and terrible wars shall occur. Frustration and despair shall encompass the people until they are forced to turn to the one true God. Then will the light of most joyful tidings so illumine the horizons, that the cry of a circumflex Baha'u'llah will be raised from every direction. This will come to pass. Abdu'l-Baha. Know thou that hardship and privation shall increase day by day, and the people shall thereby be afflicted. The doors of joy and happiness shall be closed on all sides, and terrible wars shall occur. Frustration and despair shall encompass the people until they are forced to turn to the one true God. Then will the light of most joyful tidings so illumine the horizons, that the cry of circumflex Baha'u'llah will be raised from every direction. This will come to pass. Abdu'l-Baha. A tempest, unprecedented in its violence, unpredictable in its course, catastrophic in its immediate effects, unimaginably glorious in its ultimate consequences, is at present sweeping the face of the earth. Its driving power is remorselessly gaining in range and momentum. Its cleansing force, however much undetected, is increasing with every passing day. Humanity, gripped in the clutches of its devastating power, is smitten by the evidences of its resistless fury. It can neither perceive its origin, nor probe its significance, nor discern its outcome. Bewildered, agonized and helpless, it watches this great and mighty wind of God invading the remotest and fairest regions of the earth, rocking its foundations, deranging its equilibrium, sundering its nations, disrupting the homes of its peoples, wasting its cities, driving into exile its kings, pulling down its bulwarks, uprooting its institutions, dimming its light, and harrowing up the souls of its inhabitants. Shoghi Effendi. A tempest, unprecedented in its violence, unpredictable in its course, catastrophic in its immediate effects, unimaginably glorious in its ultimate consequences, is at present sweeping the face of the earth. Its driving power is remorselessly gaining in range and momentum. Its cleansing force, however much undetected, is increasing with every passing day. Humanity, gripped in the clutches of its devastating power, is smitten by the evidences of its resistless fury. It can neither perceive its origin, nor probe its significance, nor discern its outcome. Bewildered, agonized and helpless, it watches this great and mighty wind of God invading the remotest and fairest regions of the earth, rocking its foundations, deranging its equilibrium, sundering its nations, disrupting the homes of its peoples, wasting its cities, driving into exile its kings, pulling down its bulwarks, uprooting its institutions, dimming its light, and harrowing up the souls of its inhabitants. Shoghi Effendi. This judgment of God, as viewed by those who have recognized Baha'u'llah as his mouthpiece and his greatest messenger on earth, is both a retributory calamity and an act of holy and supreme discipline. It is at once a visitation from God and a cleansing process for all mankind. It fires punish the perversity of the human race, and weld its component parts into one organic, indivisible, world-embracing community. Mankind, in these fateful years, which at once signalize the passing of the first century of the Baha'i era, and proclaim the opening of a new one, is, as ordained by him who is both the judge and the redeemer of the human race, being simultaneously called upon to give account of its past actions, and is being purged and prepared for its future mission. It can neither escape the responsibilities of the past, nor shirk those of the future. God, the vigilant, the just, the loving, the all-wise ordainer, can, in this supreme dispensation, neither asterisk the sins of an unregenerate humanity, whether of omission or of commission, to go unpunished, nor will he be willing to abandon his children to their fate, and refuse them that culminating and blissful stage in their long, their slow and painful evolution throughout the ages, which is at once their inalienable right and their true destiny. The whole earth, Baha'u'llah, on the other hand, forecasting the bright future in store for a world now wrapped in darkness, emphatically asserts, is now in a state of pregnancy. The day is approaching when it will have yielded its noblest fruits, when from it will have sprung forth the loftiest trees, the most enchanting blossoms, the most heavenly blessings. Time is approaching, when every created thing will have cast its burden. Glorified be God who hath vouchsafed this grace, that encompasseth all things, whether seen or unseen. Great oppressions, he, moreover, foreshadowing humanity's golden age, hath written, preparing it for the advent of the most great justice. This most great justice is indeed the justice upon which the structure of the most great peace and alone, and must eventually, rest, while the most great peace will, in turn, usher in that most great, the world civilization which shall remain forever associated with him who beareth the most great name. Shobi Effendi. This judgment of God, as viewed by those who have recognized Baha'u'llah as his mouthpiece, and his greatest messenger on earth, is both a retributory calamity and an act of holy and supreme discipline. It is at once a visitation from God, and a cleansing process for all mankind. It fires punish the perversity of the human race, and weld its component parts into one organic, indivisible, world-embracing community. Mankind, in these fateful years, which at once signalize the passing of the first century of the Baha'i era, and proclaim the opening of a new one, is, as ordained by him who is both the judge and the redeemer of the human race, being simultaneously called upon to give account of its past actions, and as being purged and prepared for its future mission. It can neither escape the responsibilities of the past, nor shirk those of the future. God, the vigilant, the just, the loving, the all-wise ordainer, can, in this supreme dispensation, neither asterisk the sins of an unregenerate humanity, whether of omission or of commission, to go unpunished, nor will he be willing to abandon his children to their fate, and refuse them that culminating and blissful stage in their long, their slow and painful evolution throughout the ages, which is at once their inalienable right and their true destiny. The whole earth, Baha'u'llah, on the other hand, forecasting the bright future in store for a world now wrapped in darkness, emphatically asserts, is now in a state of pregnancy. The day is approaching when it will have yielded its noblest fruits, when from it will have sprung forth the loftiest trees, the most enchanting blossoms, the most heavenly blessings. Time is approaching, when every created thing will have cast its burden. Glorified be God who hath vouchsafed this grace, that encompasseth all things, whether seen or unseen. Great oppressions, he, moreover, foreshadowing humanity's golden age, hath written, preparing it for the advent of the most great justice. This most great justice is indeed the justice upon which the structure of the most great peace and alone, and must eventually, rest, while the most great peace will, in turn, usher in that most great, the world civilization which shall remain forever associated with him who beareth the most great name. Shobi Effendi. You seem to complain about the calamities that have befallen humanity. In the spiritual development of man, a stage of purgation is indispensable, for it is while passing through it that the overrated material needs are made to appear in their proper light. Unless society learns to attribute more importance to spiritual matters, it would never be fit to enter the golden era foretold by Baha'u'llah. The present calamities are parts of this process of purgation. Through them alone will man learn his lesson. They are to teach the nations that they have to view things internationally. They are to make the individual attribute more importance to his moral than his material welfare. Written on behalf of Shobi Effendi. you seem to complain about the calamities that have befallen humanity. In the spiritual development of man, a stage of purgation is indispensable, for it is while passing through it that the overrated material needs are made to appear in their proper light. Unless society learns to attribute more importance to spiritual matters, it would never be fit to enter the golden era foretold by Baha'u'llah. The present calamities are parts of this process of purgation. Through them alone will man learn his lesson. They are to teach the nations that they have to view things internationally. They are to make the individual attribute more importance to his moral than his material welfare. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. In such a process of purgation, when all humanity is in the throes of dire suffering, the Baha'is should not hope to remain unaffected. Should we consider the beam that is in our own eye, we would immediately find that these sufferings are also meant for ourselves, who claim to have attained. Such world crisis is necessary to awaken us to the importance of our duty and the carrying on of our task. Suffering will increase our energy. In setting before humanity the road to salvation, it will move us from our repose, for we are far from doing our best in teaching the cause and conveying the message with which we have been entrusted. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. In such a process of purgation, when all humanity is in the throes of dire suffering, the Baha'is should not hope to remain unaffected. Should we consider the beam that is in our own eye, we would immediately find that these sufferings are also meant for ourselves, who claim to have attained. Such world crisis is necessary to awaken us to the importance of our duty and the carrying on of our task. Suffering will increase our energy. In setting before humanity the road to salvation, it will move us from our repose, for we are far from doing our best in teaching the cause and conveying the message with which we have been entrusted. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. When such a crisis sweeps over the world, no person should hope to remain intact. We belong to an organic unit, and when one part of the organism suffers, all the rest of the body will feel its consequence. This is in fact the reason why Baha'u'llah calls our attention to the unity of mankind. But as Baha'is, we should not let such hardship weaken our hope in the future. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. When such a crisis sweeps over the world, no person should hope to remain intact. We belong to an organic unit, and when one part of the organism suffers, all the rest of the body will feel its consequence. This is in fact the reason why Baha'u'llah calls our attention to the unity of mankind. But as Baha'is, we should not let such hardship weaken our hope in the future. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. We have no indication of exactly what nature the apocalyptic upheaval will be. It might be another war, but as students of our Baha'i writings, it is clear that the longer the "divine" physician, i.e. Baha'u'llah, is withheld from healing the ills of the world, the more severe will be the crisis, and the more terrible the sufferings of the patient. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. We have no indication of exactly what nature the apocalyptic upheaval will be. It might be another war, but as students of our Baha'i writings, it is clear that the longer the "divine" physician, i.e. Baha'u'llah, is withheld from healing the ills of the world, the more severe will be the crisis, and the more terrible the sufferings of the patient. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. It is quite natural for anyone observing the present state of the world to feel very depressed and apprehensive of the future. Any intelligent person must be wondering what you're wondering. It is indeed hard to see what lies ahead of us in the near future, but we, as Baha'is, unlike most people, have absolute assurance that the distant future is serene and bright. We do not know if there will be another great war. What we do know is this, that unless people become spiritually awakened in time, great suffering, maybe in the form of war, will come upon them, for humanity must be unified, must be redeemed. If men refuse absolutely to take the easier road of faith, of seeking out God's manifestation for this age and accepting Him, then they will bring upon themselves a fresh crisis in human affairs and very great affliction. What we, as Baha'is, must do is a duty. We cannot do other people's duty for them, alas, but we can fulfill our own sacred responsibilities by serving our fellow men, living a Bandi life, teaching the faith, and strengthening its budding world order. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. It is quite natural for anyone, observing the present state of the world, to feel very depressed and apprehensive of the future. Any intelligent person must be wondering what you're wondering. It is indeed hard to see what lies ahead of us in the near future, but we, as Baha'is, unlike most people, have absolute assurance that the distant future is serene and bright. We do not know if there will be another great war. What we do know is this, that unless people become spiritually awakened in time, great suffering, maybe in the form of war, will come upon them, for humanity must be unified, must be redeemed. If men refuse absolutely to take the easier road of faith, of seeking out God's manifestation for this age and accepting Him, then they will bring upon themselves a fresh crisis in human affairs and very great affliction. What we, as Baha'is, must do is a duty. We cannot do other people's duty for them, alas, but we can fulfill our own sacred responsibilities by serving our fellow men, living a Bandi life, teaching the faith, and strengthening its budding world order. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Shoghi Effendi has been told that some of the friends are disturbed over reports brought back by the pilgrims concerning the dangers facing America in the future, whenever another world conflagration breaks out. He does not feel that the Baha'is should waste time dwelling on the dark side of things. Any intelligent person can understand from the experiences of the last world war, and keeping abreast of what modern science has developed in the way of weapons for any future war, that big cities all over the world are going to be in tremendous danger. This is what the Guardian has said to the pilgrims. Entirely aside from this, he has urged the Baha'is, for the sake of serving the faith, to go out from these centers of intense materialism, where life nowadays is so hurried and grinding, and, dispersing to towns and villages, carry the message far and wide throughout the cities of the American Union. He strongly believes that the field outside the big cities is more fertile, that the Bandis in the end will be happier for having made this move, and that, in case of an outbreak of war, it stands to reason they will be safer, just the way any other person living in the country or away from the big industrial areas is safer. It is remarks such as these that the pilgrims have carried back in their notes. He sees no cause for alarm, but he certainly believes that the Baha'is should weigh these thoughts and take action for the sake of spreading the faith of Baha'u'llah, and for their own ultimate happiness as well. Indeed, the two things go together. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Shoghi Effendi has been told that some of the friends are disturbed over reports brought back by the pilgrims concerning the dangers facing America in the future, whenever another world conflagration breaks out. He does not feel that the Baha'is should waste time dwelling on the dark side of things. Any intelligent person can understand from the experiences of the last world war, and keeping abreast of what modern science has developed in the way of weapons for any future war, that big cities all over the world are going to be in tremendous danger. This is what the Guardian has said to the pilgrims. Entirely aside from this, he has urged the Baha'is, for the sake of serving the faith, to go out from these centers of intense materialism, where life nowadays is so hurried and grinding, and, dispersing to towns and villages, carry the message far and wide throughout the cities of the American Union. He strongly believes that the field outside the big cities is more fertile, that the Bandis in the end will be happier for having made this move, and that, in case of an outbreak of war, it stands to reason they will be safer, just the way any other person living in the country or away from the big industrial areas is safer. It is remarks such as these that the pilgrims have carried back in their notes. He sees no cause for alarm, but he certainly believes that the Baha'is should weigh these thoughts and take action for the sake of spreading the faith of Baha'u'llah and for their own ultimate happiness as well. Indeed, the two things go together. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi.
The believers should understand that a catastrophic breakdown of human society as a result of mankind's ignoring his message has been clearly foretold by Baha'u'llah, and that we are, indeed, in the midst of such a breakdown. The main concern of the Baha'is should be, not how to preserve themselves physically, but how to seize the opportunities that these conditions present to convey the healing teachings of the faith to their fellow citizens. The rising level of concern at this time may well be one of the keys that will assist the Friends to open the eyes of the peoples of Europe to the true nature of their predicament and to win their allegiance to the cause of God, the Universal House of Justice. The believers should understand that a catastrophic breakdown of human society as a result of mankind's ignoring his message has been clearly foretold by Baha'u'llah, and that we are, indeed, in the midst of such a breakdown. The main concern of the Baha'is should be, not how to preserve themselves physically, but how to seize the opportunities that these conditions present to convey the healing teachings of the faith to their fellow citizens. The rising level of concern at this time may well be one of the keys that will assist the Friends to open the eyes of the peoples of Europe to the true nature of their predicament and to win their allegiance to the cause of God, the Universal House of Justice. The pen of the Center of the Covenant has repeatedly prophesied the intolerable calamities which must best beset this wayward humanity ere it heeds the life-giving teachings of Baha'u'llah. Chaos and confusion are daily increasing in the world. They will attain such intensity as to render the frame of mankind unable to bear them. Then will men be awakened and become aware that religion is the impregnable stronghold and the manifest light of the world, and its laws, exhortations and teachings the source of life on earth. Every discerning eye clearly sees that the early stages of this chaos have daily manifestations affecting the structure of human society. Its destructive forces are uprooting time-honored institutions which were a haven and refuge for the inhabitants of the earth in bygone days and centuries, and around which revolved all human affairs. The same destructive forces are also deranging the political, economic, scientific, literary, and moral equilibrium of the world and are destroying the fairest fruits of the present civilization. Political machinations of those in authority have placed the seal of obsolescence upon the root principles of the world's order. Greed and passion, deceit, hypocrisy, tyranny, and pride are dominating features afflicting human relations. discoveries and inventions, which are the fruit of scientific and technological advancements, have become the means and tools of mass extermination and destruction and are in the hands of the ungodly. Even music, art, and literature, which are to represent and inspire the noblest sentiments and highest aspirations and should be a source of comfort and tranquility for troubled souls, have strayed from the straight path and are now the mirrors of the soiled hearts of this confused, unprincipled and disordered age. Perversions such as these shall result in the ordeals which have been prophesied by the Blessed Beauty in the following words: the earth will be tormented by a fresh calamity every day and unprecedented commotions will break out. The day is approaching when its civilizations flame will devour the cities. In such an afflicted time, when mankind is bewildered and the wisest of men are perplexed as to the remedy, the people of Baha, who have confidence in his unfailing grace and divine guidance, are assured that each of these tormenting trials has a cause, a purpose, and a definite result, and all are essential instruments for the establishment of the immutable will of God on earth. In other words, on the one hand, humanity is struck by the scourge of his chastisement, which will inevitably bring together the scattered and vanquished tribes of the earth, and on the other, the weak few whom he has nurtured under the protection of his loving guidance are, in this formative age and period of transition, continuing to build amidst these tumultuous waves an impregnable stronghold which will be the sole remaining refuge for those lost multitudes. Therefore, the dear friends of God who have such a broad and clear vision before them are not perturbed by such events, nor are they panic-stricken by such thundering sounds, nor will they face such convulsions with fear and trepidation, nor will they be deterred, even for a moment, from fulfilling their sacred responsibilities. One of their sacred responsibilities is to exemplify in their lives those attributes which are acceptable at his sacred threshold. Written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice. The pen of the center of the covenant has repeatedly prophesied the intolerable calamities which must best beset this wayward humanity ere it heeds the life-giving teachings of Baha'u'llah. Chaos and confusion are daily increasing in the world. They will attain such intensity as to render the frame of mankind unable to bear them. Then will men be awakened and become aware that religion is the impregnable stronghold and the manifest light of the world, and its laws, exhortations and teachings the source of life on earth. Every discerning eye clearly sees that the early stages of this chaos have daily manifestations affecting the structure of human society. Its destructive forces are uprooting time-honored institutions which were a haven and refuge for the inhabitants of the earth in bygone days and centuries, and around which revolved all human affairs. The same destructive forces are also deranging the political, economic, scientific, literary, and moral equilibrium of the world and are destroying the fairest fruits of the present civilization. Political machinations of those in authority have placed the seal of obsolescence upon the root principles of the world's order. Greed and passion, deceit, hypocrisy, tyranny, and pride are dominating features afflicting human relations. Discoveries and inventions, which are the fruit of scientific and technological advancements, have become the means and tools of mass extermination and destruction and are in the hands of the ungodly. Even music, art, and literature, which are to represent and inspire the noblest sentiments and highest aspirations and should be a source of comfort and tranquility for troubled souls, have strayed from the straight path and are now the mirrors of the soiled hearts of this confused, unprincipled and disordered age. Perversions such as these shall result in the ordeals which have been prophesied by the Blessed Beauty in the following words: the earth will be tormented by a fresh calamity every day, and unprecedented commotions will break out. The day is approaching when its civilizations flame will devour the cities. In such an afflicted time, when mankind is bewildered and the wisest of men are perplexed as to the remedy, the people of Baha, who have confidence in his unfailing grace and divine guidance, are assured that each of these tormenting trials has a cause, a purpose, and a definite result, and all are essential instruments for the establishment of the immutable will of God on earth. In other words, on the one hand, humanity is struck by the scourge of his chastisement, which will inevitably bring together the scattered and vanquished tribes of the earth, and on the other, the weak few whom he has nurtured under the protection of his loving guidance are, in this formative age and period of transition, continuing to build amidst these tumultuous waves an impregnable stronghold which will be the sole remaining refuge for those lost multitudes. Therefore, the dear friends of God who have such a broad and clear vision before them are not perturbed by such events, nor are they panic-stricken by such thundering sounds, nor will they face such convulsions with fear and trepidation, nor will they be deterred, even for a moment, from fulfilling their sacred responsibilities. One of their sacred responsibilities is to exemplify in their lives those attributes which are acceptable at his sacred threshold. Written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice.